So we are in this series of Open My Eyes, Lord. And when it comes to sermon prep, it's like, just to give you a little highlight, we look at different themes starting next week, we'll be talking for quite a few weeks on relationships. But when it came to open the eyes of my heart, the thought was behind that is to see, it's to take a hold of what God has for us and not to miss out on what God has. And so my intention was to talk on John chapter 4 when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. And later on, he looks at his disciples and he says, like, open your eyes and see that the fields are white, ready for harvest. And there's 4 months to come for harvest. And so I was preparing on this. That was on Thursday, and I was navigating through this. And sometimes when you prepare a message, it flows easy, and sometimes it doesn't. And this one didn't. It was like a struggle as I was preparing. And so I'd like to share to you the enlightenment I got in relation to that. And so I know that God wants us to reach our world. But one of the thoughts that really came to my mind was, I can't see God work through me if he doesn't move in me. It's very, very basic. I cannot really see God work through me if he doesn't work in me. And I was reminded of the story of Paul, the Apostle Paul. When we look at the letters he wrote and the amazing letters he wrote to us, to the churches, and we're able to have that in our hands, right? But I look at the journey of the Apostle Paul, where he was persecuting the church, was hit by God as he was going to Damascus to persecute the church, and he got blind and blinded, and Jesus told him, why do you persecute me? And probably the reason why he was blinded physically is because he was blinded spiritually. And when I look at the influence or the impact that he left, it's phenomenal. But before he had an impact and before he made a difference, there's something that had to happen in his heart. Something had to happen in his own life. And as he was encountered by God, this is where he met Ananias, and this is where the journey began. But Paul needed to come to a place of decision in his heart of, what am I going to do, right? And there's so many examples of that in the Bible. You've got the example of Jonah, where he received God's call to go and preach repentance to Nineveh, but he didn't want to. He wanted to see judgment come on Nineveh. And so what he did is he ran away, right? And you know the story. He ran away, took a boat on the Mediterranean Sea, and he wanted to go as far as possible to Nineveh. What happened is that he was thrown into the water, swallowed by a fish. And while he was in the fish, this is where God took a hold of his heart. And the story goes is that he was packed by the fish. Actually, there's a guy, I believe last week, that was swallowed by a fish. They caught the fish, and he was in the belly of the fish. And I remember reading an article from the early 1900s, where they caught this guy. They caught this fish in a net, and as they opened it up, there was a man in it, and he was as white as snow because of the acid. So I'm thinking about Jonah. When he went to preach to Nineveh, he was probably not a pretty sight, right? He was definitely bald because he lost all of his hair because of the acid of the fish. But anyway, that's another story. But it's a little rabbit trail here. But Jonah, I look at the response of Nineveh, where they all repented and they all turned to God. It's a tremendous story. But in between, there was this man that ran away from God and at one point said yes to God and responded to the call of God. I look at Moses, for example, when he was met by God and when he saw the burning bush and when God asked him to go lead his people, and Moses wanted God to send someone else in Exodus chapter 3, where he said, God, I'm not able to speak, send someone else. But in all this, like, there was the revelation, the encounter, but at the same time, he needed to come to a decision. He needed to cross the line. He needed to move forward to be able to step in what God had in store for him. I look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6 of his book, where he says to God, God calls him to be a prophet to his people, and Moses and Jeremiah answers, I'm too young, God, I'm too young. And God tells him, no, I will send you, I will give you the words. It's not always easy to say yes to God. Would you agree? It's not always easy to say yes to God. Like in Jeremiah in chapter 20, verse 7, he says, you persuaded me, God, and I did let you persuade me. And then this is where he says, I'm being mocked by this nation, but at the same time, there's a fire in my bones that cannot hold the word of God. It has to come out. But I'd like to focus on the thought that to be persuaded by God and to let God persuade you. I really believe that God wants to persuade me, wants to win me over, but I've got to let him persuade me. I've got to let him win me over. And I think that's the tension that we find in our Christian walk, is that will I let God persuade me, or will I respond to the persuasion of God? And I think that's a huge topic, right? I can't see God move through me if he doesn't move in me. And when it comes to being moved in that regard, it's to see God become personal, real in my life. And this is where my faith is activated, where I say, yes, Lord, I will walk by faith. I believe it's important for us to place ourselves before him and say, God, stir my heart up for your will and what you want to do. Like, I think that before we see the field, I've got to say yes to him. I think about the event of the upper room in Acts chapter 2, one of the most glorious chapter or event that we find in the New Testament, where we see the 120, they're waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll receive power and you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem to the end of the earth. So he told them to go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. So for 10 days, they're waiting to be, they don't know really what they're waiting for. They had no clue of how it was going to look like. But the story goes is that as they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit, there was tongues of fire that was on each head. And there was like a rushing wind that came in, and they started to speak in tongues. And they were filled with boldness and assurance. And when they went out, they spoke the word of God with boldness. And Peter that betrayed him was now full of boldness and being able to stand before the crowd and not be afraid of the Pharisees and the religious leader of his time. So it's an amazing story, an amazing event, and this is where the church really was born. But I look at the 120 that went to the upper room. So they had to make a decision to go to the upper room, right? It was not automatic. It was a decision they had to make, or they had to say, okay, today, let's go to the upper room. We're going to respond to the invitation of Jesus, but we don't know how long it's going to be for. We're just called to go and wait, and that's what they did. And then we see the 120 being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I look at this story, I can see that they all had a choice to go to the upper room or not. I don't know if they felt that tension. Should I go? Shouldn't I go? And that's what I'd like to address, if I can have your attention this morning. That's the topic I want to address this morning. We're facing a lot of tension. And the thing is, how do I respond to the tension? Like, for example, and not to put any guilt or to use that as a manipulation tool, but we have a prayer summit on Tuesday evening. And so at 6 o'clock, will there be a battle inside of you? Should I go or shouldn't I go? Right? You look at all the battles that we face, right? It's like sometimes I'm preaching here this morning, and there's a chance that as I'm preaching, you will say yes. And then when you're going to go home, there's going to be that tension of saying, oh, I don't know anymore, right? It's like this elastic that we face. We say yes to God, yes, yes, yes. But after that, it's kind of back and forth, back and forth. And I really believe it's important to break through. Can you tell your neighbor that we need to break through? There needs to come a point where we say, no, I'm crossing the line. I'm going beyond my emotion. I'm going beyond the battle that is before me, and I'm crossing the line. I think it's an important thing to do. This can happen in every setting because I believe that God wants to encounter us. It's like this picture, and I used that picture before, is that you might be under your deck, if your deck is covered, and you're seeing the rain, and it's like rain is falling, and you have the choice of watching the rain fall, or you have the choice of going in the rain and be wet. Well, it's really up to you, right? The rain is falling, it's a beautiful rain, and you have the choice of getting wet or not, but you will never know what it means to get wet if you don't go underwater, right? You might hear about it. You might say, oh, that's a good idea. But until you don't go and you don't go in the rain, you won't get wet. And so it's so important for us to realize that if I want to make a difference in my family, I want to make a difference in my world, I need to take a step forward, God. I need to go beyond resistance. I need to go beyond good intention. And I've got to do it. I've got to step forward. I've got to cross that line. And I want to read to you a quote. I took a whole story and I resumed it in a short few phrases. It's the story of Charles Finney. I remember buying this book in 1986, a long time ago. It's called Religious Revival. It's a French book. Well, it's not a French book. It was written in English and was translated in French. And I remember reading the sermons of Charles Finney, and I was impressed that they wrote all their sermons every word was written down. And I realized later that the reason why they did that is because they had no recording, right? They would preach their message one and then it would disappear. It would not be there anymore. So the way for it to last and for us to have them, it's to write them down. But this guy, Charles Finney, had a huge impact in his world. He's a revivalist. He went into places, manufacturers, and his presence in that place, people could feel God, and they would repent and give their life to God just because he was there. An amazing anointing that God had upon him. And I just want to just give a little snapshot of his conversion. And his conversion has different steps, like when he gives his life to the Lord, when he gets encountered also in his home. But I just want to read a few thoughts that goes well to what I believe God wants to convey to us this morning. So Charles Finney was a lawyer with a little knowledge of Christian faith. Finney decided he needed to read the Bible since so much of the law was based on it as he was a lawyer. The more he read, the more convicted he was over his sinfulness. And one day, he determined to get right with God. So he went into the woods to pray. And he says, "But when I attempted to pray, I found that my heart would not pray. I cannot pray. My heart is dead to God. It will not pray. I said, such a degraded sinner I am. I then reproached myself for having promised to give my heart to God before I left the woods. But when I came to try, I found I could not give my heart to God. An overwhelming sense of my wickedness is being ashamed to have a human being see me on my knees before God took such powerful possession of me that I cried at the top of my voice and exclaimed that I would not leave this place if all men on earth and all the demons on hell surrounded me." And he says, just at that moment, this passage of scripture seemed to drop into my mind and with a flood of light. So just before I read the text that came to his mind, is you see this guy that went into the bush or went into the woods, and the story goes that he was never deep enough because he didn't want to see anybody see him. And then this text came alive to him. It was Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. I'm going to read starting verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Verse 12, "Then if you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declare the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." And so this text came alive to his heart because he knew that if he was going to call upon the Lord, that he was going, if he was going to cross the line and not be influenced by the feelings he felt and the oppression that was upon his life, that he would have a breakthrough. And I believe that God wants us to have our walk in the woods. I believe there's some of us that we need to go in the woods. We need to make a stand and we say, okay, God, I'm meeting with you. I need to meet you in my life. I'll give you an illustration of my journey many years ago. When the kids were in bed, what I would do is I would go for a walk around 8 o'clock and I would go and pray for the community. So I would do a prayer walk. And remember one night, it's minus 100 outside, and I'm walking and I'm in a back street, and I remember the street, and I remember the homes that were there. And I remember I had this little voice inside of me that said, go kneel down. And I remember the battle that I faced to kneel down, even though it was dark outside and it was in winter and there was nobody around. I could not go on my knees. And I remember finding this excuse, and I went to tie my boots. But I went on my knees, but I went to tie my boots. And I was ashamed. And I remember walking home and saying, like I was not even able to kneel outside at minus 100 at 9 o'clock outside. Like, unreal. And I remember a few months later when spring came, we finished preaching, was leaving church, and I hear this voice inside of me, go outside, go kneel in front of the building. But now it's a little bit more complicated. It's on Main Street. It's around 12:30. People are walking. It's nice outside. And I'm just beside the road. And so I remember going there and kneeling and being so conscious of my pride. It was ridiculous. Like my eyes closed and I felt like every eyes were upon me. And God was breaking down in my life. And it's not just one shot and it's over. It's a constant thing that we are called to cross the line, that we're called to go into the bush and not hold back. Like I said, there's so much tension over our lives. There's so much tension, and what we do is like we do that like this elastic. We go forward, we say yes here, and then we go back home. We say yes, and then we go back home. And God wants us to break through. It's like you have the remote in your hand at the house, and you know that you want to spend time with God, but you just can't. You just can't. You have this thumb is paralyzed. There's this bondage, this force, this reality that is preventing you of shutting your TV. And when you do it, and then you go in the prayer room, you say, what amazing it was. But there's that tension in between that we all face. And we have to realize for us to step in what God has in store, we have to break through. We have to break through. Like, for example, you are not right in a relationship and you know that you should reconcile, but it's so hard, right? It's like this tension. You have to break through. And when you do the will of God, this is where you see a breakthrough. So why am I expecting a breakthrough when I don't want to break through? Wow, right? So it's important for us to see that God wants to bring freedom. You know, when I look at Proverbs 21, verse 31, where it says, the horse is prepared for the battle, for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. When I'm looking at that verse, that's the key verse I believe God gave for us as a church. I'm saying, God, you have victories for us, but I got to prepare for the battle. And the first thing that needs to happen is for me to break free. The dangerous prayer of praying, God, break me free. Because there's real resistance and there's real entanglement and there's a real battle going on, and I need to say yes to God. And at one point, I've got to do it. There's this inside battle with the flesh. Just like, for example, lifting the hands up in worship. You're here and you want to. You know, In your heart, you have your hands up, but you can't. And you say, why? It doesn't make any sense, right? Because you can do weights. You can do army press, right? You can put box on shelves, but you're in God's presence and you want to, and we're not forcing this on no one, but you just can't. You see, you gotta break through. At one point, you just gotta do it. At one point, you got to not just experience this elastic, I'm almost, and then you're looking around, you do it. It's the same thing. When you choose to go and take a walk in the bush like Charles Finney did, you go and you go in the bush. You say, hey, I'm going to go for a walk. Like I know someone told me as they were exiting the church after their first service, well, it's pretty cold outside to go for a walk in the bush. Maybe. But you can go for a walk in the bush in your basement, in your car, where you go in. You say, okay, this is it. I'm crossing the line here. I'm discontent with status quo. It can't continue this way. I need God in my life. But you got to do it. You got to break that cycle. You got to step out. You've got to do it. You got to go in the bush. And as you go in the bush, hell will break loose and you'll hear the pressure because there's a battle going on where the enemy doesn't want you to experience freedom. Like, he's happy to see this egg where you're in. They say, oh, Claude is in this egg. He's alive, but he's in the shell. But when you choose to pick your way out from the shell, because you know there's a world out there, you know that there's a calling upon your life, you know that God made with you with purpose and significance, and you pick out, you, I don't know if you can say it this way, sorry, that's where my French kicks in. You're pick out. So I hope they don't use that on Instagram. I want out. I want out. You see? So the last thing the devil wants you is to fly. He wants to keep you in the egg. Hush, 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 hush. You know? See, so as a Christian, you're saying, no, I don't want to be caught. I don't want to be a prisoner. And this is where you press on. Like you have this tension that we find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For the world offers only the craving of physical pleasure, craving of everything we see, the pride of achievement and possession, and these are not from the Father, but from the world. And we got to press through that, right? It's not easy. But you say, God, I want to see you. I want to see the white fields. I want to make a difference. And the way it will happen is that when you step out and you have your walk in the bush. Like it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, you struggle not against flesh and blood. The battle is not here. The battle is in the spiritual realm. And you know how you will have the victory? Is when you break that you go to the point where the elastic breaks, where you are set free. There's a need to push forward, to be intentional. And we find that in Scripture. We find the story of Zacchaeus that goes up a tree. He goes up a tree. Well, he was small, whatever, like no place for him because he's a tax collector. But he did the effort to go up a tree. Am I willing to go up a tree? I look at this lady that had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was considered impure. And because of that, she was not allowed to come in the mix. And Jesus was walking by. And she knew that Jesus was her solution. And she makes her way and she says, impure, impure. And people are looking down at her because she shouldn't be there. But then at one point she touched Jesus. And Jesus felt virtue come out of him. And he looked around and said, who touched me? And the disciples were saying, well, everybody's touching you. No, someone touched me differently. Someone dared to go into the bush. Someone dared to cross the line and to go beyond the elastic and just say, no way, I'm going to go for it. And this is where God intervened. You got the story of Bartimaeus outside of Jericho. He's blind, not from birth, but he got sick at one point, lost his sight, and he's begging. And he hears about Jesus passing by. And then Jesus is passing by, and he yells out, Son of David, have mercy on me. But people are telling him, don't disturb the Lord. Be quiet. And what does he do? He yells even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He got Jesus' attention. He crossed the line. He went into the bush. He went beyond. He says, "I don't care what they're saying. Hey, Jesus." You know, I think it's so important for us to realize that God wants us free, but the freedom he's already gave it to us. And the freedom that you can experience is when you step out. When you go beyond your feelings and the resistance, right? You feel that. You feel that resistance. You want to have devotion, or you want to have a time with God. And it's like, we all do. And the one that sees a breakthrough, listen, is the one that decides to pierce it through. And the one that decides to go into the bush. Like, that's the difference between Charles Finney and another person, is he went into the bush. He dared go into the bush and pursue God, and God met with him. I think it's so amazing. Leonard Ravenhill, a great revivalist, said, "God does not play hide and seek with us, but he does invite us to climb the hill of the Lord to meet with him." You climb up the hill and you meet God. But there's an effort to climb up the hill. Look at the mountain of the Lord in the Old Testament. They all went up. But you don't want to go up, maybe. I don't feel like going up. Like, God can talk to me in the bottom. He can talk to me whenever. No, you go up the mountain. Why? Because you want to meet with God. And you do the effort to meet with God. You cross the line. You go in the bush. You break the elastic. And this is where you experience your breakthrough in your life. Like, it's to break free. Like, what I wrote is, it's to break free. It's like this thing that's holding me back. Are you aware of that? Is it only me that feels this thing that is holding me back? The flesh, the ways of the flesh is holding me back from confessing, from letting go, from surrender, you know? So my prayer is that you would pray this dangerous prayer this morning. Lord, I want to break free. Lord, I want to break free. I want to go up the mountain. I want to do like Elisha. You know, this amazing story of Elisha, when Elijah was a prophet and he was used by God in a mighty way, and now his time was done. And then he came down the valley and he saw Elisha that was plowing the field with his plow and with his ox. Can you see oxen? With oxen. And so he's doing that. And then the prophet comes and touches his shoulder. And he knows what it means. He was waiting for that. He prepared himself for that. And so when he received, when the prophet Elijah placed his hand on his shoulder, what he did, okay, now it's my time to step up. You know what he did? He took his plow, broke it into pieces, made a fire, and took his ox and burned it as a sacrifice unto the altar, saying, "I'm never going to come back to that again. This is it. I'm going for God." Such a picture, right, of crossing the line. Such a picture of not holding back, but saying, let's do it. Or the disciples, when Jesus approached them and says, "I will make you fisher of men." And they respond to the call. I know that we have different callings, and I know that we're not all called to be Elijah, Elisha, and so on, but there's definitely things God is calling me to, and what is holding me back, right? What is holding me back? So I want to experience freedom, right? I want to see that. I look at Lazarus when he came out of the tomb. He was still wrapped with grave cloths. So what is wrapping me? What is holding me, right? Like, I've got to look at God. I want to break free. I look at the young rich ruler where Jesus told him to sell what he had and to follow him, and he said no. It was a call for him. Jesus wanted him to be a disciple. Tremendous call, but he said no. But at the same time, I need to answer a similar question. Like, am I willing to leave things behind? Am I willing to say yes to him? Am I willing to walk in the woods? You know, I believe that God wants you to go deeper, but I believe there's tension and resistance. And the only way you'll see this resistance fail or break is when you do that step. Is it easy? No. like to shut your remote, to go, to step forward, to do the effort. It's not easy, but it's worth it, right? And so I invite you to pray this dangerous prayer. Father, break me free. If you're dealing with guilt from the past, bring it to God. If you're dealing with guilt because of sin, repent. Don't let that hold you back. If you're obsessed with the things of this world, just say, God, help me to surrender. If you feel that you're not good enough and you're not worthy, receive his grace freely, because we're all trophies of grace and none of us deserve it. If Christianity is cultural, let it become personal. Just say, God, come into my life. If pride is in the way and you say, this is my ship, my life, it's not going to go very far. I invite you to put it before God. Maybe you're hurting in your relationship. You got to learn to forgive and let go. So I got to break through, right? Maybe there's fear. It's fear. I think fear is so huge. If I just got a moment here, fear is that, what if I do go in the bush? What will happen if I do cross the line? You know what's going to be? What's going to happen? It's going to be amazing. You will experience Christ's freedom. And that freedom will be expressed based on the callings that he has upon your life. You see? So don't be caught in fear. Or maybe you're afraid of change. Maybe right now there's a lot of changes. You don't know what to do. But don't let that hold you back and say, God, even if there is changes in my life, I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to be held back. I would ask you to stand. I want to challenge you this morning. How many of you know that you have to go in the bush? That's you. I want you to raise up your hand. It's time for you to cross the line and say, no, I just can't continue this way. There's more. There's way more. I want to cross. I want to cross the line. I want to break that elastic. How many of you feel the tension of the elastic? Feel the tension of holding you back? Like, Father, you see all the hands this morning. And Father, we pray this prayer, this dangerous prayer. Set me free. Give me the courage, Lord, to go into the woods. Give me the courage to move towards you, to get up in the morning, to take some time aside, to press the remote. Give us the energy and the power by your Holy Spirit to say yes to you, so that we could be encountered by you, so that we can fulfill our calling that you've placed upon our lives. Father, we don't want to stay in bondage. We don't want to stay prisoners. Father, we want to step forward. We want to move forward. Father, I just pray for your grace this morning, and because it's only you and us, so we say yes to your Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would bring back this message to our hearts as we leave this house, that we would want to meet you in the bush, meet you in the quiet, so that you can reveal yourself to me, so that I can be empowered for you, so that I would be alive in you. In Jesus' name, amen.